Well, we have our Fusion Friday finale on Friday the 17th, and Amelia can tell you more about our wrap-up evening.
And what is that?
All right, well, we're having a lot of wordplay this year. Our wrap-up event is the final event, but it's also a fashion-themed event. So we'll be celebrating, in part, the kimono exhibition. We are, as always, inviting people to wear their finest cocktail or Asian-inspired attire, but we'll also be bringing in a fashion show. And I was just speaking with the person who's organizing the models, and he has 30 models lined up. And those are drawn from throughout the different communities, including, you know, the pageant winners from different cultural groups, like Miss Chinatown, for example. So we're also going to have something fun. We always like to have an interactive activity, and this will be happening in August. This will be a fashion-inspired challenge, sort of like a Project Runway or something. We're going to have some interesting items and challenge people to design some high fashion out of unexpected items. And then I think we'll have a little crowd favorite judging.
That sounds like a really fun time. Now, 30 models equals, I'm guessing, 30 different styles of kimono.
Well, it's not just kimono, actually. So we will have some of the models will be in kimono, but it's going to be transcultural.
How interesting that sounds. What might be some of the things they'll say with the transcultural stuff that they're wearing?
Well, I'm not quite sure what we'll be wearing. I think that a lot of the models will be wearing things that are traditional in their culture, although I would bet many of them will be wearing something that's traditional in their culture but updated for this century. I know the last time we partnered with this group, Apex, they brought in models to model qipao, the traditional Chinese garment, but they were very 21st century.
I've not seen a qipao. What is that?
Oh, you have seen one, you just don't know the name. They're the very slender dresses with the high collar that you think, oh, that's gorgeous, but I probably would never want to wear one.
The ones that look like you have to weigh 90 pounds to wear them.
Exactly.
I guess I have seen those. After all, I have envied them. Chelsea, what about the lecture later this month on kimono?
On August 19th, it's a Sunday at 2 p.m., the guest curator of Kimono in the 20th Century will be here to give a lecture on the show. Her name is Hollis Goodall, and she is a guest curator here, but she's also a curator at LACMA. So it's really a treat for us to work with her. This is the second of three lectures that she is giving in the kimono space. It is also the last lecture that will be given before the exhibition rotates. Right now, we have spring and summer kimono in the galleries, and then toward the end of September, the galleries will rotate for the second half of the show's run to reflect more fall and winter kimono and to give our visitors something new to look at.
So people had better hurry and see those if they want to see spring and summer, which are gorgeous. What can you tell me, or can you give me a preview yet of fall and winter kimono?
Not yet, but you'll come back soon and we'll talk a bit more about it when I know more.
Talk about tempting me to do that. What are you looking forward to most in terms of new programs or any kind of new interactive activities as we move through August into September?
Well, there's always something going on at Pacific Asian Museum. I'm looking forward to, actually, in September, a little bit of a slowdown, I'm not going to lie, with our summer programs like Fusion Friday and Art and Coffee wrapping up. It's not going to be a quiet September by any means. We have Silk Road Storytime, which is the first Saturday of every month, except in September, because of the holiday, it's going to be September 8th. So we'll have Silk Road Storytime at 10:30 a.m. on that Saturday morning, and it's free and open to the public, which is really exciting for us. We also have a shibori and yuzen workshop, which are two traditional styles of Japanese textile dyeing. This is backed by popular demand, and participation in the workshop portion of the event is already completely full. We have a long waiting list for it, actually. So that'll be a lot of fun for us. And then our other continuing programs like Authors on Asia, we'll be looking toward a couple family festivals in October and a wonderful Najion workshop at the end of September, which is the art of Korean lacquer.
I have seen pictures of that, and it's utterly gorgeous. Is that full already?
It is not full. There are still spaces, and so we encourage any of your listeners that are interested to call us immediately or go on our website for more information.
And Amelia, what are you looking forward to in terms of opportunities for educational presentations this upcoming fall?
You know, as Chelsea mentioned, we have these workshops and programs we like to put on. We really like to let our visitors experience Asian art firsthand as much as possible. And it's so great when we get these experiences, you know, doing shibori dyeing or the Najneon inlay. One thing I'm looking forward in particular, she mentioned that the shibori dyeing workshop is full. I've been meeting with the instructor to come back in the spring, since we have to do it outside. I won't do that in the wintertime. She's going to come back in the spring and do a little bit longer series, touching on some more techniques. So people should definitely stay tuned for that and sign up early, because as we've seen, all of her classes have filled up almost instantly.
And as we look forward for, let's just say, the next 6 months, anything in the planning stages about which you'd like to tell me for educational programs?
Well, I think the next big thing, as they say, is going to be Lunar New Year, but we're kind of in denial about that at the moment. That's 2013, but it'll be in February 2013, and we'll be celebrating the Year of the Snake.
So something, again, to look forward to after the Year of the Dragon. And finally, what has been one of the things that you have learned about Asian art over summer that you didn't know before from all the events at the Pacific Asia Museum?
Well, one thing I've really enjoyed this summer is having all of these Japan-related exhibitions in our galleries and learning how they speak to each other. They're all referencing how Eastern and Western culture, and, you know, Japan in particular, how they've talked to each other and influenced each other over centuries. Each of these exhibitions, Gajin Fujita, Yukioe in Contemporary Painting, Masterpieces of Tsukioki Yoshitoshi, and Kimono in the 20th Century, all of these are looking at different time periods, but they all have a very similar underlying theme of how these cultures are speaking to one another. And I think that's really at the heart of what we do here at Pacific Asia Museum. And it's been wonderful to see it so pronounced in the galleries this summer.
And same question to you, Amelia. As an educator, what's one of the main things you've learned that you maybe didn't know before about Asian art this summer?
Well, I think something, I wouldn't say I've learned it, but it's definitely been reinforced this summer, which is just how wide the appeal of these art forms is. We've had just a great turnout this summer with people from, you know, all demographics, all walks of life, all experience levels. Everyone just really relates so strongly to the woodblock prints, the kimono textiles, and then Gajin Fujita's, you know, contemporary work. It's been crowd pleasers all around. So people should definitely come this weekend while they have a chance to see all three.